The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
On News Talk.
Former Fine Gael TD, former Cabinet Minister Joe McHugh is with me. He has put pen to paper and written a book. So, Kuwarthagas Joe, Leather Lauer, the Tourist Quailga. Well, I was going to say beg to all right. Bay to all right is what you might say in your part of the world. An Irish language journey. So this is all born out of Enda Kenny appointing you as a Minister of State. So bring us back in time to that moment.
Okay, well, Erdős Bára Gormáigat, Azok the Coru, thank you so much for the invite to be here. And bay to our all right and beg to all right, they're both right, so fair play. Well, that particular day, it was a day when the Taoiseach was handing out or deciding who were going to be the junior ministers or ministers of state in government. So it was a big day, all the TDs have their phones on and we're all excited. But I wasn't hopeful that day because I was on the other side of the heave. I voted against Enda in 2010. Mm. And I felt 3 years later, he may not have forgiven me yet and maybe I'm not going to get a chance. So even my phone was as low as 7%. It was on silent. So I wasn't expecting even the call-up. But when I saw the two missed calls from a Dublin number, I thought, right, this isn't a journalist. And I rang back and it was the Taoiseach's office and they said, Enda wants to meet you. And I just went from, you know, I don't know what place I was in. I was with Dara in the playground in Merrion Square, my son. And I just went to a place of elation and that just lovely feeling that, you know, all the hard work since 99, my supporters will be happy, my family will be happy. And sitting outside the office in expectation that Enda's going to hand me a job. And, I never considered for a second what he was going to give me, but I was just so, so happy. And it was a moment that I'll never forget, that particular wit.
So it was a kind of, like a lot of these junior minister gigs, the portfolios, you found yourself a man with many hats. So he starts listing them off. Is that how it works?
Yeah, that's it. Well, you're correct because he started off with, what did he say? He said communications, energy and natural resources. So that was the full name of that department. Yeah. But I was only getting one element of that. I was only getting natural resources. But Enda listed them all. And I felt, right, I'm going to be a junior minister only in that department. And I thought, yeah, this is good. I'm living in Donegal. I'm going to, you know, responsibility for broadband, air codes. And I was thinking, this is going to be a good gig. And at the very end, he says, after saying communications, energy and natural resources, he says, and I want you to look after the Gaeltacht as well. And then that feeling of elation, that feeling of that happiness, it just disappeared.
Yeah. It's interesting in the book, like you, did you really consider not taking the job?
Oh, I did. I mean, like in fairness, like me and Enda had the conversation with the over and back and I says, look, Enda, you know, I'm not going to be able to handle a conversation. I'm not going to be able to do media interviews. I'm not in a good place here and questioned my own competency. But in fairness to Enda, and like Enda, you know, he was quite black and white in the matter. He'd appointed me 3 years previously to co-chair of the British-Irish Parliamentary Assembly, chair of the Good Friday Agreement Committee. And he says, Joe, look, I've confidence in you to do this way up to Glencolum Kiltage scale. They'll look after you and you'll be grand in a couple of weeks. Now, that bit was a bit on the over-optimistic side, but, you know, I left the office saying that I would give it a go. But you know, leaving that office, you know, the questions just, I started, you know, the political side of my brain was saying, well, there's no way I'm going to handle this. So my first phone call was to my wife, Alwyn. And that was a very brief conversation because she knew there'd be trouble ahead. And she said,
she was out of politics at this stage. Had she left at this stage?
Yeah, she left in 2011.
Yeah.
But her political brain never tired or never eroded. And she says, you need to get on the phone to Liam Cunningham. And I rang Liam and Liam says, well, Joe, did you get a job? And I says, yeah, I did. I says, but I'm bothered, Liam, I got the Gaeltacht. And he says, bay to all right, or beg to all right down the country. And that's how the title of the book emerged from that response from Liam.
So talk us through the reaction then from the different reactions from the Irish speaking community.
Yeah, well, look, I totally understood the reason for protest. Now, you know,
the minister without a language is the minister without a clue. Was
that's hard. I know we always try to say we've got a cracking crewy, a hard skin in politics. But, you know, the human side comes out and I did find it very, very difficult dealing with that level of protest, that level of I suppose, challenge the fact that I'm not able for the job. So initially it was tough, it was difficult, but quietly and privately and also publicly, people were coming to, you know, to make defence, you know, people like Seán Cushla from Litchimore in Gaelic, or he was based in Munsters in Litchimore in Gaelic at the time. I'd never met him, didn't know who he was, and he was saying, you know, Tor Shantz, Dunfairshin, you know, give the chance to that man. And privately, I was getting a lot of emails. I mean, a man from Australia, John Wilson, he was 81 years of age, August Dirce Sarifos, he said in the email, I started relearning Irish last year, and, you know, he was 80 years of age. So he says, Neil Shea, reeve raw wall, it's never too late. So there was a lot of people came in behind me and helped me along.
And so Enda's kind of suggestion that maybe a couple of weeks up in Glencolumbkill and you'd be Leifa was always going to be a bit on the optimistic side. How long did it take for you to get to a point where you could sit down with Tina G or Orna G and have an interview, have a conversation in Irish about policy?
Yeah. Well, look, I was fortunate. It was mid-July, so I had the summer to really, really brush up on my Irish. So now I remember doing an interview early on, maybe sort of mid-September, late September on TG Cahir.
Yeah.
And I made the fundamental mistake before that interview. I did what I did in school. I wrote, learned the answer in anticipation of the question.
Okay.
But, you know, like me sitting in front of you, I don't know the question you're going to answer or you're going to ask. And the interviewer was looking for a different response to the one that I kept giving. So that particular day, I made a commitment to myself. I'm not going to do this rote learning. It's not, you know, it's not the way to go. And
yeah.
And I started building a confidence around, right, let's figure out a better way of handling a conversational question. And I was really lucky with all the people. I'm from Carrigart to my parish of Meva, going to the shop and meeting people speaking Irish. And that, because of the public nature of my appointment, people were coming to me and approaching me just naturally, Iglóirt Gaeilge. They were all speaking Irish, and it was a full immersion Irish learning program.
So you the book as well, I mean, it details all of this, you know, kind of your experience learning it and kind of the political backdrop and all of that. But there's each chapter as well, each capital, it has kind of little kind of words of the week, focal na shocktana, and then kind of like there on Lauer, to kind of shocked came. Kind of helpful, very helpful steps there to help people learn Irish. This is all born of experience. So talk us through how you got to the point, kind of beyond the immersion. Like, what were the tips and tricks that you relied on?
I think the biggest one was awareness and feasacht. Creating that awareness that every day is a learning day. And there's a lovely expression used in my parish, Hoku Linh. And Deglan McFadden, who lived in Singapore for most of his life, explained very well that his interpretation of that is make every day count. So I made every day count. So when I was in the car, I wasn't looking at the road signs in Berle. I was looking at the Irish signs. Mm. I was trying to figure out, well, there's a place there. Even when I was in Galway going through Mam Cross, and then you go on to Lough Anyam and you find out, you know, the old Irish name of Mam Cross was in Chach Deutsche, the burnt house. Mm. So it was this fascination and curiosity around history. My own townland of Dunmore, the big fort. For the first time in my life, I wanted to find out where the fort was. So this type of fascination and curiosity with history and making that relevant link to the life and the history and where I'm from and all that. And that was a massive, massive tipping point. And that continues to this day. And people are constantly giving me wee tips. Even at the book launch last night, Kieran, I met a man. Like during my speech, I was talking about the fishing industry and killybegs. And I said, fishermen. And then I backtracked and said, well, that's not the correct term. It's a fishery or a fisher at this stage from a gender neutral point of view.
Yeah.
But a man came up to me last night and he says, we never had any of that hassle with the Irish language because it was eiscirí. That was the Irish word. So we didn't even have all that dilemma. Is it feminine? Is it male and all that?
Yeah.
The Irish language is so beautiful. It doesn't do that sort of gendering, you know.
Yeah.
In other words, Cahirla. I mean, for years and years, the English language had chairman and, you know, and we never had chairman in the Irish language. It was Cahirla. You know, it wasn't in any sense. So that fascination with the Irish language and bringing back and going back to a period over thousands of years and how people lived and how people lived their life, and learning from those beautiful expressions and Shannon.
Look, Anim is a great website. Like, I'm glad you mentioned it. It's brilliant. And like, you often wonder as well, there's kind of certain place names as well that, you know, there's several Stradbally's around the country. You know what I mean? They're all just Shradvalia. You know, they're all just, but I often wonder as well, there was a name for that place.
Yeah.
Do you know, some cartographer or some map maker or somebody kind of from the Crown was there and asked them, you know, what's this bit? And they just said, the village, you know? And so that gets written down as Stradvalia, Stradbally.
Yeah.
But the locals must have had a name for it. It's like Montpellier Hill outside Dublin, you know, where the Hellfire Club is. Like, you know, the early Irish people didn't call it Montpellier Hill, but what did they call it? Yeah. You know, some of that is lost, but some of it, as you say, through Lough Annam and through just understanding actually what the words mean on those signs, it brings you back into a kind of a whole different world.
It does. And I remember I was out doing a bit of fishing with Jerry Early. Well, I wouldn't call it fishing because we were just doing pots, working on the pots with crabs and lobster.
Mm.
But he talked about this little area that we called the area called Polawada Ishke. So it was like anglicised into Polawada Ishke. Like, it didn't make any, it was all one word and didn't make any sense. But then Jerry explained it was Paul and Wadu Ishke. So it was the whole of the water dog, which is the otter. It still had the pronunciation of Donegal. Like, you'll say Madra, but we'd say Madu up in Ulster areas. It'd be Madu. So like the Madarua, the fox, and you'll say Shunach. So these little nuances, these little differences, you know, whetted my curiosity.
Shunock Lick eating the dog's food the other morning when I went down on the ring doorbell. There he was. But anyway, like I said, loganim.ie for people who haven't kind of ventured into it. What has it given you then? Like, what doors, be they kind of cultural or anything else, has a grasp of the language given you now?
First thing it's given me confidence. Yeah. You know, I would always have doubted myself, even as a public speaker, even as a former teacher. When I was a secondary school teacher, I had an innate nervousness. That nervousness has gone from being able to jump from Gaeilge Gobeirle, like jumping in and out. And I don't know what has happened there, you know, whether it's part of our DNA, whether it's in us, but at a personal level, my confidence has gone to a different level. Secondly, you know, you talk about the culture, the heritage, the language itself. One of the things that I suppose I always said, I want to go back and be able to speak the language, and, you know, to Nara Ormsa, like, the embarrassment is on me that I can't speak the language. But it's not just about the language as a communication tool.
Mm.
It opened up the doors and windows for, you know, our Nairacht, our heritage. And Nairacht is a beautiful word, which is not just heritage, it's also our legacy. So it opened up a word for me to think more about the people that came before us. And then I'm thinking on the Seanáchail, Erskachéile, Awarin the Dinye, where we have this, where Irish people had a preoccupation with shadows, but Erskachéile, Awarin the Dinye, we live in each other's shadows. Mm. And Seosamh O'Kelly, who helped me out with the editing of the book, he introduced me to we use the expression from one generation to the next, as Berle. But as Gaeilge, it was O'Hulun Go'Hulun, from one knee to the other, from when the baby is on the mother's knee to when that baby grows up. So the descriptive nature lended itself to just so much curiosity, so much appetite for learning. And I was enjoying it. And if people are enjoying in a learning club, whether they're kicking a ball or they're at ballet or doing whatever, if they're enjoying it, they will learn.
That's the key, isn't it? It's like that Pádraig Harrington thing about the kids playing golf, you know, take them off the course, but they're still enjoying it. Buy them a Coke, buy them a plate of chips, create positive memories for them, and they'll want to go back. Do you miss politics?
No, it's like asking maybe a secondary school student, do you miss secondary school? I think you go through secondary school, you do your leaving cert, and you've done that. I've completed over 25 years in politics, and I felt I've given it all, I've given it me everything, and I just felt the time was right between the kids being at their age and just looking a wee bit deeper about my own life and my own health and my own well-being and all that. Just I wanted to just do something with less pressure and less stress.
Yeah.
And I feel I've made the right
decision. So where will people see your head pop up next then?
Well, there's a line in the book which says, I'm looking forward to being out of politics to have less notoriety and less publicity. And here I am sitting in front of you
exactly.
and launching a book last night. So there's a bit of hypocrisy around that on my part. I want to get in. I'm doing a 2-year master's. That'll finish in May in the Royal College of Surgeons on lifestyle medicine. I want to find out more about the medicine behind lifestyle. Looking at the amygdala in the brain and the emotional response and how it deals with stress and how our stomach is actually a good gauge in finding out where we're at on the levels as well. You know, and even. You know, those expressions we use in English, like a gut feeling, like that has come from somewhere where we have these feelings and, you know, triggering stress. So I want to find out more about the stress of that. And I used to be a group work facilitator before politics, and I want to get into kind of the more group psychology of well-being and lifestyle.
Well, listen, we wish you well with it, and Cuardha go Sarish. Bé to All Right, An Irish Language Journey by Joe McHugh. Joe, thanks very much for joining us.
Gramila, Mike.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Weekdays from 4 on News Talk.